Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you are here joining with me today for a nice cup of the good stuff as we wake up and face the day. Anyway, it has been 8 days since I have done a podcast. No, I have not died. No, the world has not come crashing down either. But it has been... it's been a nice, needed break to kind of focus on, I guess you could say, some self-care, letting myself sleep in or at least lay in bed or longer in the morning. And from that yawn, maybe I should have done it another day. But no, it's been a nice little vacation. And in all reality, while I've talked a little bit about the podcast just during the day, it's like I could tell it was a needed break. And I'm not going to go back to, like I said in the last podcast, the every weekday. But I am not giving it up. I know that I got a couple of emails from people saying, yeah, we understand, and I appreciate that. But anyway, today is, it's not Monday, it's Tuesday, the 16th of March, 2021. Yesterday was the 15th, the Ides of March. I did not see as many fun things for the Ides of March come through my Facebook feed. I actually only had one, which was a bottle of Caesar salad dressing, the backside of it with a knife stuck through. For those of you who don't understand that, this is the day in history when Julius Caesar was stabbed in the back, what was it, like 71, 72 times, something like that, by the Roman Senate. And his friend Brutus supposedly joined in with it. It was a rough life to be an emperor, because there were plenty of people in the waiting, people that were your family, people that were your trusted friends, that as soon as you got in, they were eager to get you out so that they might have the power. I think if they had paranoia, there was really good reason back then. Oh, but what has been happening? Well, around here, we have been having rain. We had quite a bit of rain last night. We were listening to some of it, and another big yawn. We had a meeting last night with the board of Friends of Camp Wauwatosa. And if you are in this area, we are going to be having an open house at the camp planned for April 18th, I believe it is. It's a Sunday in the afternoon. We're going to be having advertisements coming out. The general public will be available to come out from 2 until 4 that afternoon, and from 1 until 2, we're having a little special thing for those donors that we have to show them around and talk to them about what our plans are. So, you know, hopefully it is April. We do have April showers, but hopefully we'll be blessed and have a good day that day. But afterwards, the wife and I, we went out for some pie and coffee at Niemerg Steakhouse and their little cafe part, you know, their restaurant conglomerate. And that was nice. We hadn't done pie for a little while, and it was nice going there and just kind of enjoying some conversation and having a good time. This past weekend, we went down to visit our son Aaron. And his girlfriend joined in with the visits down there in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And that was a nice, fun trip. We had shipped my wife's laptop computer down to Aaron because he's a little computer whiz. and because it had the hard drive had crashed and needed to get things, you know, fixed up, cleaned up, redone. Aaron updated the operating system, and he did have to get a new hard drive, and he's going to see if he can pull the data off the old hard drive. But we went down and picked it up and then got to have a nice dinner and a nice breakfast. Did a little bit of running around. Went to a place called Flea Land. No, it's not where you take your dog to get them defleed. It's not where you go and pick up fleas either, but it is a giant flea market. And it is in this large building, and they have we didn't even go down all the flea market aisles, but where they have booths, and they range from comic books to tattoos to piercings to musical instruments to DVDs and CDs and, well, I guess it wasn't CDs. What am I thinking? Blu-rays. Just clothes, socks, local artisans. I mean, just anything and everything. There were, I don't know how many booths they actually have, but it was pretty amazing. The place was filled. Place was pretty packed of people enjoying it. And then outside, they have even more booths set up. And there was only maybe four people that were using the outdoor booths, but they had, I don't know how many would I say they had, probably 50 booths that were out on the opposite side of the parking lot. They also have an antique mall, and my wife and I love going down antique malls. There's certain things that we look for. Some things we just like to see, but other things, you know, we do like buying. And one thing I've been looking for is a rope making machine. Back in the old days, as farmers, you always had twine that was just kind of a staple, and so then you take that twine and you use the rope making machine and you twist it, and then that coils together to make rope. My grandpa on my mom's side, he had a rope making machine, and that was something he used a lot. And I've got a little handmade one that my dad made that we've used for demonstrations back in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. But I would love to get one of these old fashioned kind that are just, you know, smooth running and oh, that'd be sweet. The problem is, at an antique mall, they typically run $250 to $350, and that's a little bit more than what I want to pay. But anyway, it was fun. Flea Land was really, really neat. Will I go back again? I don't know. I'm not huge on flea markets, but I think one of the things that I really liked was seeing the entrepreneurial spirit. You know, these people that were there at the booths, they were not employees of a store. These little booths were their stores. They were the people that were buying the product. These were the people who were then selling it. These were the people who, you know, this is the way they supplement their family. Or for some of them, this may be their sole income for the family or their primary income. You saw people like one fella, when we came by, he was working his booth in a very nice, respectful way. He was an artisan. He did wood carvings. And he pointed out as we came by and caught our attention, he pointed out the different things, but then once he explained it and gave a very brief backstory, then he stepped aside and let us enjoy looking at his different things. We didn't wind up buying anything because it really wasn't the style of things that we typically would have. But I just love that. I love the entrepreneurial spirit. people who are not just, you know, saying, well, you know, I deserve this or I need this and somebody better do something about it or the government better do something about it. This, I just love it. I love this kind of grassroots level of things. And I, you know, some people run really good booths. Some people, you know, you can tell they kind of struggle with their booths, but it's learning what is it that, that will make things work for them. So it's pretty neat. We also stopped by an amazing little place that I guess I just did not think that a town their size would have. And I'm actually looking up some of the photos that I took. We got there when it was just getting dark. But it is, and I'm not sure the name of it, but it is a military aircraft park where they have a large concrete pad, very large. And it's pretty nice. And what they have is different kinds of aircraft that have been flown, have been piloted by people who came from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Now, if you like this kind of stuff, if you like going to the Air Force Museum in Dayton, Ohio, and if you've never been there, I think you ought to go. This is in that kind of flavor. As I'm looking here, one of the planes they have is a large Marine helicopter. It's used by the Navy. It's also used by the Marines. But this one is one that was actually used as one of the Marine One aircraft, carrying the president, carrying the crew that, because they have more than just one of these choppers. You've got the president and security in one. Then you have other security of Marines in additional ones that follow. And this person from Bowling Green, he flew the Marine One presidential chopper. So they have one there. These are all on loan from other aircraft museums. They had a Huey chopper, Vietnam War era. And I've heard so many stories, but if I've been up close to one, it's been a long time ago. I'm sure I saw one there at the Air Force Museum in Dayton, but it's been years since I've been there. But it's it was neat getting in up close to see it and to look inside and match that with the stories that I've heard from different veterans, you know, what it was like, you know, at a landing zone when you were being dropped off or you were being picked up and how a lot of firefights occurred during those times. It was just kind of amazing. I'm flipping through and I see like little jump seats and stuff in there where people would sit and just kind of, again, reminiscing the stories that I heard. There was a Phantom jet aircraft. This was during the Vietnam War era and after. The Phantom was an extremely powerful fighter bomber. And it was used a lot in Vietnam. And one of my veterans, he was, I can't remember the actual title, but basically a commander for one of these aircraft, not flying it, not the pilot, but he was a captain. Maybe it's captain, but on the aircraft carrier, he was in charge of maintaining and having at the ready one of these Phantoms. And I tell you, when you stand next to it, it's like, holy cow, this thing's big. It is a big aircraft. And again, as I'm standing there and I'm thinking of the different stories that I have heard, let's see, it's the, oh, there's one that has the little, they had a sign in front of each one talking about the people from Bowling Green that flew it. And this was a McDonnell Douglas F-4D Phantom II aircraft. they had, I can't remember the name of this one. Was this the Starfighter or Star something? It was an early jet aircraft that was flown by the Air Force. And then one that was really, really cool. And I had my son take my picture in front of it. It's the Northrop T-38A Talon. And it had, of course, you know, the picture and description of the guy who flew it, Colonel Terrence Terry Wilcutt, United States Marine Corps. And this is a NASA plane. And whenever you have, if you watch some of the different movies or documentaries, if you've got an astronaut that is, let's say, at Johnson Flight Center or another location, and they're needing to get back and forth between there and Cape Canaveral, then in the Kennedy Space Center, they fly themselves. They don't fly commercial. They've got aircraft, they're pilots, they, you know, hop in their version of a car and drive there, but they're flying in the aircraft. And this is one of the aircraft that, you know, has been used. And the part that's kind of amazing, besides the fact that it was, again, somebody from Bowling Green, it says, let's see, the aircraft you see in front of you, number 901, represents the history of America's manned spaceflight program. All of the astronauts in the Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo programs flew this aircraft. Of the 6 lunar landings in the Apollo program, all who have walked on the moon have flown in the aircraft on display. Astronauts familiar to you, such as Neil Armstrong, Gordon Cooper, Gus Grissom, Robert Hoot Gibson, John Glenn, Story Musgrave, Alan Shepard, and Terry Wilcutt, represent only a few of the famous astronauts who flew number 901. After being declared surplus by NASA, 901 was acquired by the Commonwealth of Kentucky through the Government Services Administration and made available to Aviation Heritage Park for restoration and display. That's cool. I guess I missed that part of it where it was saying all of them. I thought it was just the ones listed when I was there. It could fly at Mach 1.3, which is 858 miles an hour. But, you know, It's a neat aircraft, and to think it has that history. And one of the things that I love to do, and I know it drives my son crazy, but I don't care. I love to touch history. There's something to me that's important about, something that makes it very, very real. I one of my early memories of this concept with somebody else just kind of reinforced it. Again, I'm a touchy-feely person. And I had heard the story about a young boy many, many, many years ago. And he was with his grandfather. And his grandfather was visiting with another person. And he told the grandson, "I want you to shake his hand." And it was during a time period when, you know, boys would not shake the hands of men until they got to a certain age. And so he shook his hand. And after the meeting, and the grandfather and grandson were walking away, the grandfather asked him, "Do you know why I had you shake his hand?" And he said, "No." He said, "Because that man shook the hand of President Abraham Lincoln." And so it's kind of like, Lincoln shook his hand, and now the boy got to shake that man's hand. And it's, to me, history has such an important role, or should have such an important role in our lives. that kind of thing is neat and important to me. So whenever I go to museums or if I go to certain heritage sites, there's a part of me that just needs to not like rub on it for luck, but just to touch it. Grounding. If you ever saw the movie Gladiator, before Russell Crowe's character, the general, would go into battle, he would squat down and he would pick up some of the soil and he would feel it in his hands and he would rub it and he would smell it. And it was a way that he kind of grounded himself in preparation for the battle that was to ensue. And to me, there is a kind of grounding that takes place when you're in a location or around a person or an object where significant history has taken place. You know, that's one of the things that I love about living up here at the farm and the land around it, is there's some unique aspects of history. You know, if I go to a cemetery and there's somebody famous there, it's kind of like touching the tombstone. It's a grounding experience. I took the family, we went up on a vacation years ago, gosh, it's been many years ago, up to Michigan and Wisconsin. And we in the Upper Peninsula, when you get up to Sault Ste. Marie, they have a museum for the shipping industry that's actually in the belly of one of these freighter ships that is, you know, used on the Great Lakes. And they have two of the wrecked lifeboats of the Edmund Fitzgerald ship that Gordon Lightfoot made famous in his song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And they have it roped off, you know, but it's not behind plexiglass. It's just roped off. And Aaron was walking with me. Dawn and Jessica were somewhere else. And I said, hey, reach over here. Touch this. Don't do damage to it. Just touch it. Because you're touching history. And every time you hear the song, you'll remember. You've seen the only fragments that remain of, you know, of that ship. We went to the Air Force Museum and we did the same thing. I had both of the kids do it. Reach across the rope to touch the airplane boxcar, because that's the plane that dropped the bomb on Nagasaki, ending World War II in the Pacific. And the plane is there and you can touch that. And you go out on the tarmac and there's other famous planes, and they even have a Nazi plane out there that was captured after the war. And to, you know, to see that kind of history, to experience it in that way. You know, there's different people I've had the opportunity to shake hands with, and it does something to you. I've had the opportunity to shake hands with William Warfield. He played Porgy and Bess, the original Porgy of Porgy and Bess. He was the singer of the song Old Man River that everybody knows. Burl Ives, Bob Hope, others as well. Governor Thompson, hopefully future Governor Darren Bailey. There's an importance. There's an importance there that connects us. That connects us with the past. That connects us with things that have happened. Good things and bad things. Because history is important. So, thought I would just share with you a little bit of the weekend trip. We had it was a great time, and it's a pretty neat experience down there. So if you're ever in Bowling Green or have that opportunity, swing by, find out where it's at, look it up on Google, and you know, you can be done with that thing in, you know, 15 minutes, or you could spend an hour there. They are building a hangar building that's just in construction right now. So give them another year or so, and they should have an assortment of different things inside. So anyway, that's it for today. Hope you have a great one, and we'll catch you next time for some more coffee and some interesting thoughts. Take care. Bye-bye.